Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
It's NastyKiller69 here, Tommy, ready to drop my user review on Metacritic for The Last of Us Part 2, or as I'm going to call it, The Woke of Us Part SJW. And joining me in this incredible bit is the third co-host of this podcast.
It's me, Neil Druckmann. I
should be ashamed of myself.
Didn't realize quite what type of podcast I was coming on to. This has subverted my expectations.
Blah, 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 blah. No, it's Ben Vanel and Adam Knox here.
That's me. And we all like The Last of Us 2.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
I'm willing to admit it on the internet. Mm-hmm. I'm putting myself out there.
Yes.
Do what you're going to do, motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. My address
is probably clear, mate.
Probably pretty easy to get a hold of.
If you really wanted to,
you could hunt it out.
Mm. Yeah.
But we're going to be talking Last of Us 2. It's out in the wild. We're going to be chatting about it later in the episode.
No spoilers.
No spoilers.
Don't worry.
Yeah, nothing this week. Well, because you two are both, I think, just at halfway part.
Right.
Through. Oh, my God.
I know.
There's a part of the story where you will know that you're at the halfway mark.
Mm. Oh, okay.
And I don't know if you've actually even quite reached it yet, Tommy. Mm.
Okay.
I think you stopped just before it.
Mm. I played a little bit more today. Right. I'm on 16 hours.
This is crazy to me how long it's taking you, but because I finished it in 20.
Yeah, and I'm at 18 and I'm just past the halfway mark, apparently.
Right, okay.
Nuts.
Yeah.
You're going to be like the mature age students of the Last of Us 2, really.
Well, just to older. Quickly finish this thread just before we get onto the news.
Yes.
Because this is in stark contrast to how you played it.
Oh, yeah.
We kindly got given a code like 2 days before it came out by PlayStation Australia. Mm. Adam, you took the code and then you messaged us the next day to say, I've now finished it. It took me roughly 20 hours and I did the maths and worked out that you'd had the code for just shy of 30 hours.
Yeah.
So you absolutely hooked it into your veins and just jacked right into the system.
You played it for longer than I would have been awake during the same period of time.
I really fucking went for it, but it was a cool way to play that game, especially because it's so constant in the pressure that it's putting on you.
Oh, yeah, I've been getting headaches from it.
And yeah, it's so intense.
I jammed it all into the one period.
Yeah.
Because everything kind of happens in real time. It's not like, so you're really feeling it the whole time. And man, I've been less happy than I've ever been this last week.
It's like when I watched Requiem for a Dream when I was like 18 and I was like in a funk for like 4 days afterwards because it was so intense.
It's so similar to that type of media where it is very damn. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah. I'm glad you worked out the link because you told us that and then you have dropped a couple of times in the group chat that you've just been feeling real shit this week. And I was like, I think there might be a link here.
Sure, that's the only thing that's going on in the world.
But it has also, it's been making me feel really tense and like really not like sad, but like really on edge and very quite anxious, really.
Yeah.
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 It's a very effective game, but the one big, not criticism, but issue with it at the moment is I can absolutely see the point of view where I don't want to deal with this right now. We'll talk about all that later. And no spoilers today. And then next week we'll hopefully have all finished it.
Yeah. Also, don't send us any spoilers.
Send them to me. I don't know how, but I've finished it and I'm ready to go.
At Knox on Twitter or DM him, but please leave Tommy and I out of it.
But we'll, if you're still on the fence or whatever, which would make sense with the way people are fucking talking about this game, we'll give you the definitive review, the real opinion that objectively matters.
Yes.
That's the word I've been hating seeing is objective.
Oh, yeah. Stuff.
Really? In relation to this? Because I still haven't looked at anything about it.
In relation to all media.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Really.
Yeah, it comes up
a lot in games, in responses to games. It's like, objectively, this is bad writing.
I'm sure we're all guilty of saying the same thing in hyperbole about something we don't like. But I want to try and monitor that. And I also do, it seems ridiculous to be angry at people's opinions on this when I'm saying that I have a different opinion on it, and I understand the hypocrisy there, and there are certain elements of people's response to this fucking game that I don't think there are two sides on, where it's like, I'm mad about the representation in this game.
Yes.
Like, ah, oh, you don't get to be, sorry.
Yep.
In my opinion. But like, maybe objectively, but the stuff to do with the writing and the storytelling. Anyway, we'll talk about it more next week as well, because, you know, we got some fucking time here.
Yes.
But we got a couple of news things to dive into that have happened in the last week or so before we get into the game. What do you want to begin with? There's been a couple of, how about with this? This is a nice light softball. There's been a couple of Pokemon events.
Objectively the worst game that's ever been released on any platform.
An objectively weird way of doing it. They had two separate little mini presentations like a few days apart.
It really seems like they have taken apart whatever they had planned for an E3 direct thing and just been putting them all up. Like the Paper Mario stuff as well. Mm-hmm. All of it seems as though it's like expanded versions of the little slices they might have had in a direct.
Yeah.
Which I fucking hate. I don't like this way of doing things that instead of E3, and obviously no one had a choice, but like watching that PS5 thing was cool.
Yep.
I guess the Xbox One I'm looking forward to, even though it's now unclear what that even will be.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember they were saying like, we'll do a thing every month, and then they're like, oh, actually, straight away, no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I, like, after we did the PS5 one, I was like, okay, when's the Xbox One coming up? I want to see these first party games. There's no concrete date for it. There's only a bit of chatter about it from like 5 weeks ago. So yeah, that's very unclear now.
Yeah. But the Nintendo one especially, I always liked those directs and getting...
They were very well made.
Yeah.
They were always very well paced and well laid out and like charming and fun with all the various, you know, developers and games directors in them. But yeah, it's like, okay, cool. Now there's like a 3-minute thing about Pokemon Snap and another one 4 days later about some
League of Legends thing. And they just pop up out of nowhere and you like go on Twitter and you're like, oh, I guess there's a new Paper Mario.
Yeah.
That's a weird way to find out.
Yeah.
I'd rather sit down and eat some snacks.
I don't think we've talked about the Paper Mario thing at all because it happened while we were doing the history of gaming things. But that literally just out of the blue... All the social medias just had a little embedded trailer for it. Because, like having the little thing of them dropping a date and it's, you know, it's often like roughly 48 hours time and, you know, getting hyped up about that.
Yeah.
You know, even though people's speculation tends to run wild.
Yeah.
It's all part of the fun.
Totally.
Even potentially being let down. It's still, you know.
And Paper Mario, there's a great chance of that.
Huge chance. Yeah.
And that's out in like less than a month, I'm pretty sure.
It's the same day as Ghost of Tsushima. So I think it's like maybe two weeks.
17th
this week?
Of July. Mm.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that just dropped out of nowhere. But then also two Pokemon little presentations. I guess the big thing that people have been very excited about is that there's a new Pokemon Snap.
What would you call a new Pokemon Snap game?
Well, Pokemon Snap, not old.
That's close. I reckon we could get the word count on that down by like one.
Okay. Fresh Pokemon Snap.
That's actually way better.
That is way better.
Fresh Pokemon Snap.
Yeah,
new Pokemon Snap. I'm stoked about that.
Me too.
Did you play the original?
No, what was it on? Was it GameCube?
It was 64. Nintendo 64.
Right.
Yep. You know what it is though?
Walk around taking photos of Pokemon?
You are wrong.
Wow.
You fucked it in the very first word.
Do you play the card game Snap with Pokemon?
Oh.
No.
Getting further away?
Yeah. No, you're in a little buggy. It's kind of, it's almost like it's a little amusement park ride where you're on rails and you're taking photos and then you... Gradually, you get ranked on the composition, how many of them are in the photo, the poses striking.
Okay.
And you unlock things that you can use to get better photos, like you can chuck apples, which might lure more out, or you can like throw them at one of the Pokemon's heads, which is going to make it kind of be all dazed, and then you can get a more interesting photo.
Right,
and that was always the fun thing about the first one, is that you go through the level the first time and see all these kind of like... like a theme park ride where everything's sort of predetermined. All these things are going to happen. This fucking little Pikachu is going to trip over here.
Right.
But then you have those items where you can interact with it. So if you throw the thing at the Pikachu before he trips early. Well, that's a bad fucking example. But like you throw something.
Early trip maneuver.
Throw something into some lava and like a fucking Charizard comes out and you can hit a switch and go down a second path. And
yeah. Just the unlocking the things and then getting to do these different runs and experimenting with like, different ways of getting these more impressive photos. Right. So there's like, it's a pretty short game to just play through once, but the replayability and like wanting to get that high score on each course was like really, really addictive.
And the fact that it was such a, like everything being pre-made and predetermined and how it would play out meant that they really built in a lot of different things that could happen while you went down it, which they were really fun to find. And that was at like the height of Pokemania.
Right.
When everybody loved Poke Hogan. God damn it. Poke Hogan. Fucking shit. I'm so tired today. I'm going to do that a few times. But
and it was one of, I think it might have been, was it before or after Pokemon Stadium? Because
it was the same. It was within a month.
Right. So it was like the kind of the first thing of seeing these games that you'd seen on the Game Boy, very like simplistic designs and stuff, actually seeing this, you know, for at the time, very impressive 3D kind of real world representation of like, oh yeah, this is cool. Like there's little wildlife parks in this world where they kind of keep them and just kind of seeing them kind of run around together in the wild and interact as these like 3D models was really, really cool.
It was great. I loved it. And they had like in like Blockbuster or Civic Video or something, they had like kiosks where you could bring your cartridge in and print out the photos that you had taken on the game into these little postage stamp looking things.
Pretty sick.
Yeah.
Man. I'd love it if they bring that back for this. Just no need for it.
I reckon now is maybe the worst.
Nintendo invests in a new video store franchise.
Yeah. Yep.
It's based on getting you out of the house to come and interact here.
I really hope it's good. I mean, people have been talking about wanting a remaster or a new version of Pokemon Snap for a very long time.
20 years.
Yeah, so I'm really, really excited for it. But I also, at the same time, I've kind of lost a bit of faith in this company, I have to say.
The Pokemon company.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know that I really trust their ability to know what they've got and to know how to make a good product with what they've got.
Pokemon Snap is still probably one of the best Pokemon games now because it was such a different thing and it was so simple that you didn't expect that much out of it in a weird way.
Yeah.
I think that is the format that absolutely it would be tough not to pull off.
Yeah, again. But if any company can do it, I think it's a company that all the weird stuff I was reading about, like why their game files are so big.
Right.
Because I don't know. Oh, what was that thing? It was like the thing about how you could save space on the cartridge by just replicating certain models like later in the game. But they found that Game Freak were just like remaking the same model every time.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
All that stuff where you can like shrink down the size and have more space for other stuff. They just like seem to not know how to do. I don't know.
Like cooking a meal for four people, but cooking it four different times.
Exactly.
Rather
yes.
than using one big pot.
Right. Yeah. Washing the pan and then starting from scratch.
Now you have to finish your plate before I start yours.
I'm not going back to the supermarket to get another to get another set of these ingredients until you've licked the final bit of juice from your plate.
Learn how to drive again before I drive down there.
What they also announced, I don't know, like a weird puzzle game.
Well, with Pokemon Snap as well, it was worth saying there's no release date or anything yet.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It's
a very vague trailer.
Like a Pokemon League of Legends was the second one, or Dota.
It's more like a Dota, like a character-based RTS.
Five aside, it's a mobile game and on Switch, it's free to play. Looks the furthest away from my alley that anything could possibly be. If I'm in my alley waiting for something to come up there, it's not in there.
It's not in the alley. Not even a distant figure at the end of the alley.
It's standing in a field, which I suppose is the opposite of an alley.
I guess so.
Or like underwater would be the
space?
Opposite. I've always had something of a problem with the word whenever I try to think of opposites because like, you know, you'd say the opposite of hot is cold, but they're both temperatures.
I know exactly what you mean,
So isn't the opposite of hot like...
Blue.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Yes.
because so the opposite finale is like, I don't know, fucking Dwight Eisenhower or something.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah,
the,
yeah.
Whatever the least related
the feeling of ennui.
Right. Maybe, well, yeah. But you might feel that in an alley.
True, yes.
So it has to be something that would never come up.
But Eisenhower would have been in some alleys back in his time.
Not often, I reckon. But still. He'd have been a real hit in the streets
type guy. There's a link. There's enough of a link there.
He's a real main street guy, that yeah. Dwight Eisenhower.
Maybe like a kettle. Would you ever see a kettle in an alley?
Yeah, someone discard it. Fuck. Could be in the rubbish.
Yeah, it'd be in a bin. Yeah, in a skip. Yeah.
Buffalo.
Buffalo.
Some kind of animal that wouldn't even fit in an alley and wouldn't go into a city in the first place.
Or like a dinosaur.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Before the existence of alleys.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was the Allosaurus.
In the dictionary, they'd be quite close.
Yeah, that's too related.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, amoeba, but they're everywhere, right? Are amoebas still around?
I think so.
Or have we evolved out of them and they're gone? What's a virus?
Discard them.
Yeah. Are we amoebas?
Did you say what's the virus?
Yeah, what's a virus?
Well, amoeba records in Los Angeles sadly closed down at the start of COVID.
There you go.
That's what Porky Pig says. Amoeba.
Did you just call him Porky Piss?
Yeah, I'm so tired.
It's my new character, Porky Piss.
And I also, I meant Speedy Gonzales.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Amoeba.
Yeah, yeah,
is why I brought it up.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't go there.
Our opinions on The Last of Us 2 are the right ones. We're smarter.
Don't try and run away from your new character, Porky Piss. That's a slam dunk.
Yeah.
What would Porky Piss say? Hibbity, I'm pissing. He's not a complicated character, doesn't have to be complicated to be good.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. Pokemon League of Legends,
who gives a shit? But that's not for us.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm.
There was also a Smash Brothers video that Nintendo put up where they announced the next DLC character, which is Min Min from ARMS.
Oh, yeah. The ramen
noodle one.
Girl, yes.
She fights exactly how you would imagine her as a Smash Brothers character fighting. It had another cute little intro video where all the ARMS characters are like trying to get the invitation letter.
Right.
And you don't find out until the end like, it was the one you probably didn't assume it was.
Yeah, I think it's a cool choice. Like they've kind of, it is a real step back in terms of, you know, they've put in these big fan favorites like the last five DLC characters that like now this game that's like, it's a huge step down. But that said, I am glad that it's not just the Springman guy. This is one of my favorite characters from the game.
Apparently,
so this is
the
cool.
director said it's his favorite character.
Oh, cool.
Right.
So specifically asked for Sakurai to put Min Min in.
And he's in. So Sakurai did the presentation from his house.
Yeah.
Did you see this screenshot of his two huge TVs next to each other?
I saw it live, baby. And
oh, really?
He's got a PS4 Pro under there.
Oh, hell yeah.
But I didn't notice an Xbox.
Ooh.
So even someone whose job
is to be obsessed with every video game. Yeah.
And Microsoft works with Nintendo
then
now.
He lives in Japan, I guess, which you can't even buy one over there anymore,
I suppose. Yeah,
yeah. There's like a subtitle of him saying, oh, you might be wondering why I have two huge TVs next to each other. Yeah, I reckon we all are. He said it's because sometimes I like to watch TV while I'm gaming.
Yeah, I think it's sick.
It's awesome.
If I could have like, I'd want this place to look like the inside of a modern submarine.
If I could.
Just screens everywhere and men all over the place. But he also, it was another one where they go fucking deep into like, here's every move she can do.
Okay. Yeah.
And then a Joker from Persona 5 amiibo that looks fucking sick.
Yeah.
And a Vault Boy costume, costume. Maybe another one as well. But when you think about like, this is the first of six again, right? For DLC characters. And the first one of the first pack was Piranha Plant. So they still have the room to go the crazy Banjo-Kazooie type shit.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But it's like they've just done so many that it must be tough to be working out what you can possibly put in.
I guess so. Well, there wasn't an ARMS person in there beforehand.
Yeah.
So it does make a lot of sense.
Vault Boy was the other Mii costume.
Yeah.
The Fallout Vault Boy.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah. It's always a little bit annoying when... I mean, not annoying. They can't put a million fucking characters in, but... When a character where you're like, oh, it'd be cool if that was a, in quotes,
an actual
real
thing.
Yeah.
They do that a lot. I think they've done that a lot with more kind of Western stuff. That's how that gets in there. Like the guy from Undertale is in there now as a costume.
Probably some others.
Yeah.
No.
That'll do. Two examples. That's plenty.
That sets up a pattern.
The old rule of two.
But yeah, cool video. You know, whether or not you're that interested in the, it's not the most, you know, amazing announcement,
yeah.
But they, the work they put into those videos, it's fucking cool. Mm.
I enjoy watching the sort of preamble. He does it like it's a podcast where the first few minutes are fucking unrelated.
Right. Yeah.
And he's just like, well, we all know COVID's going on. This is my house here. Yeah. Last time I taught you
here,
how to count in binary.
In the cat ranch.
Yeah.
Is some Adam and Eve toys going to be the next downloadable character?
Is this a reference to a podcast? I don't know.
This is the start of Marin.
Oh. Marin for a long time was advertising Adam and Eve sex toys.
I don't listen to it because I've got beef with him.
Okay.
Well, you'll be on it
squashed
soon.
It yet.
Yeah.
So yeah, there was the Nintendo stuff
mm-hmm.
from the week. Fucking Cyberpunk got delayed a little bit again, but
yep.
Yeah.
It seems... so far away.
Yeah.
Like the month of September seemed like forever away anyway.
Yes.
With the year. And so now November, it's like, well, who cares, man?
Yeah. And they're saying it's like bug fixes and yeah. more playtesting and stuff like that.
Go
like,
nuts.
No big changes, just ironing out the kinks.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Not fussed about that at all. You'll be starting to see previews of that going up this week.
That's what they said in their delay announcement, right?
They've sent it out to a bunch of journalists.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Us not included.
No.
What if they just get slammed, all the preview things are like, it's buggy as shit.
Yeah.
Put it through the ringer, guys. Fuck
really,
this.
It really feels like it could use another 4 months of of testing, I reckon. That's my review.
So yeah, we'll probably know more about that real soon.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't think I'm going to watch any of that stuff. I know that I'm going to play that game.
I'm not going to watch that stuff. They're doing an event, I think, tomorrow our time. I don't still don't know what time,
it's
though.
It's 6 p.m. CEST, whatever that is.
So
I think it's like 3 a.m. our
yeah,
time.
Okay.
I looked it up and it's not a time I want to be alive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you, Adam. I did that with the game we'll talk about in a bit, Last of Us 2. I didn't engage with any of it in the lead up, and I think am having a much better time for it.
You're
literally
continuing.
Knowing not a shred of anything that was
maintaining your habit of not engaging with it,
which is very wise.
Yeah.
The online discourse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A bunch of shit that I don't think there's anything to really say about, but I feel weird not mentioning it, but like a lot of stuff going on in the world, and like video games and video games journalism and shit is not untouched by the toxic fucking culture we live in. And so, but that's real life shit. I don't think it falls within the purview of this particular, like we also don't cover murders.
Yeah.
So true. Like we're not a news source.
Yes.
But the other news.
Yes.
Crash Bandicoot 4.
Well, this is an Australian, you know, animal. So it is real life for us.
Yes.
That's true. I see bandicoots every day.
I've never seen a bandicoot.
Yeah, me either.
They have evolved a lot since the 90s, where they used to have a neck.
Yeah.
And now
they
do not. They're just like Tassie Devil, upside down triangle.
Mm.
I guess a triangle is never upside down.
You're just putting your own preconceived notions of what way up a triangle is meant to be.
I'm thinking about a triangle with gravity affecting it, where it would onto one side. But yeah, they're doing a Crash Bandicoot 4. This kind of got leaked ages ago, or it feels like ages ago.
Mm. Yeah.
This wasn't too surprising. Or welcome for me. I don't think I give a fuck.
I don't know. I liked the remaster, but I played that, a year ago? I don't know if I'm gagging for a new one.
Well, and this is like Crash Bandicoot 8,
yeah.
I think, as well. Like, they did keep making them and people got sick of them.
Yeah. The Wrath of Cortex is one that people are pointing out that they, like, snubbed sort of in the video.
Yeah. Well, there's some little joke at the end where they're like, well, how many times has this happened before? And they're like, 3. And he goes, that seems low.
Yeah.
Well,
I think it looks fun. Like all the visuals and stuff in the trailer look good.
It looks like the people remade those first 3 and were like, well, we can do another one. We know what we're doing now.
Yeah.
I mean,
that
is the weird thing though, is that it's different people to the people who made the first 3.
Is
right?
it really? I didn't realize that.
I believe so. Huh. It's the people who did the remaster. So it's not the
original.
Yeah. So it's kind of a bit like, oh yeah, those were really good. Cool. Let's have a bit more. But
it's,
it always kind of feels a bit weird. It's like a cover version almost.
Sure.
Yeah.
But they have fully studied all of the level design. It was like if someone made a new, we're putting out a new Led Zeppelin album.
Mm-hmm.
But we've listened to a lot of Led Zeppelin and we remade all those albums. I'd be like, hey, you know what? Give it a go.
Yeah.
Yes.
but I
look,
don't
I'm always down for a fun 3D platformer.
Not the Crash Bandicoot is the Led Zeppelin.
I'm into it, but I'm not holding my breath for it to be great. I don't expect it to be. I wouldn't be surprised if it comes out and people are a bit iffy on it.
For sure.
But I'm interested. I think it looks like it could be fun.
Well, maybe you should think about streaming it if you're going
to
play it.
Yeah, that'd be a smart thing to do. You get on like one of the many streaming services.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, a lot out there.
The same number. Hold on. Breaking news. I'm touching my ear.
Well, maybe
is
you
that
could
the
be
breaking news that your ear was being touched?
Yes. Has that's got to have been a sketch, surely. Breaking news, my finger is stuck in my ear.
Fucking absolutely.
Every law review, right?
It would be 150,000 versions of that sketch.
And I'm sure so much self-sucking every time the person wrote that sketch out.
Yes.
They're like, I've done it.
The best idea. Well, Tommy, if you were considering maybe joining a streaming service to stream your playthrough of Crash Bandicoot 4, I mean, if you join mine, I'd pay you $20 million.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So surely that, shows
you. That's hard to turn down. I'm in.
Well,
I'm, as your legal counsel here, I'm just going to suggest that
I'm getting $20 million.
Yes.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. However,
I want to give it away.
Yeah.
I reckon you can get this company to still give you that money, even if they fucking decide to stop doing
well,
what they're
doing. Well, why would you? I mean, we're not going to fold, so I guess you can put that in your contract. I don't care.
Okay,
it's
yeah,
so
well,
absurd.
I didn't even know I had legal counsel, but by all means,
dude,
chuck it in my contract.
You're ninja. Of course you have legal counsel. You're a Twitch streamer, so you're going to fucking need it at some point, by the way, looks at things. But anyway, the
Mixer's
gone.
Yeah.
Or going. July 22nd, it shuts down.
But yeah, huge outcry from all of the streamers on it who weren't told ahead of time.
It makes sense that, oh, fuck, this mic cable's crackling. Sorry to anyone listening. You're all listening. What am I?
I wasn't.
You don't need to apologize to me and Ben. We're in the room hearing it live.
Yeah.
Doesn't affect our enjoyment.
So the big people got notified.
Right.
So like Ninja and King Gothalion and Shroud.
Yep.
They're released from their contracts. They still get the money, but they get to go wherever. Surely Twitch, because this whole Mixer was the biggest, to me, competitor to Twitch.
Mm.
Maybe streaming on YouTube is big, but
I think it is. I think that's the only ones that exist now that people will talk about is YouTube, gaming, Twitch, and Facebook gaming.
Well, that's the thing that they're trying to sort of shift all the Mixer stuff into,
is
into Facebook gaming, which I don't see anyone as being up for, partly because of how the fuck Facebook is now.
Mm.
Join our Patreon and get in our Facebook group. But which also I think we all are of the mood to try and find an alternative to Facebook at some point.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, if anyone is not going to go to Facebook gaming, it's gamers. Gamers are pretty aware of cybersecurity and privacy issues.
And the million other fucking issues that Facebook has as a company.
Yes.
Like, just a actual detrimental effect on the global society.
Yeah. Mm.
And to like, it doesn't seem like a good enough reason to go over and be like, hey, I crashed Bandicoot 4 this week. Hey, gamers, what's up, everybody? That's my
don't mock my
thing.
Stream of Crash Bandicoot 4 before I've even done it, thank you.
G'day, gamers. How you doing out there? It's your boy, Big Tommy. I don't know
is
why.
Is that my handle, Big Tommy? Big Tommy?
I don't know why it bothers me so much that, like, it's just cadence. It's how people speak.
Yeah.
But if you go through, if you were to layer the beginning of every streamer that in the world, over the beginning of their videos over each other, they'd all sound exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with having a catchphrase, but like they deleted Little Britain for a reason, and it was the catchphrases.
Yes, yes. Everything else we were in full support of.
Mixer is being shut down. Microsoft has said, because it's so integrated into like even the dashboard and shit of the Xbox, that won't then be replaced by Facebook gaming stuff showing up there.
That's good.
But yeah, the thing I was going to say earlier is that it kind of proves that, because Ninja was the biggest dude and wasn't getting the views on Mixer, and it proves that those platforms are the thing that people are watching, not the performers or entertainers or whatever, the streamers themselves.
Well, there's at least a very intertwined relationship between the two, because like PewDiePie is huge on YouTube, and it's partly because of YouTube's algorithm, and it's partly because he was, you know,
there early.
And interesting to people, I guess.
Sure. Mm. But so you're so easily replaceable on someone else's platform that it seems like people are more invested in the... And this makes heaps of sense to me. Because we don't see people going from listening to this to anything we put up on YouTube.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Right.
People do not cross platform lines often.
Yes.
It is difficult to get people to make that jump.
Yeah, the platform is like it fits a specific purpose or need in their life. It's a convenience thing usually. Like we've noticed a drop in numbers because people aren't doing their commutes listening to podcasts.
Sure.
Yeah. So everyone really has. Yeah, it's like platforms and routines and... it was like a 2/3 drop in viewers for Ninja, I believe.
Right.
It was like from 700, what would it be, 1,000 a
week
to 200,000, something like that.
Yeah, a lot,
whatever it was. So like people aren't necessarily going to follow. So, which is kind of scary to have the whole idea of the internet being this free open place where it's like, I'm a freelancer, I can build my own community and stuff. But then like, oh, you are kind of attached to this giant corporation who can fuck you on a whim.
Yeah.
Like they have done with so many of the smaller mixer people.
Or like the medium-sized ones who are like making a living wage. Mm. It's just gone. It's gone in an instant for them. And they're like, what? I guess I go to Twitch. But still, that's a huge upheaval.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it happens with all jobs, I suppose. Any fucking company can suddenly go like, well, we have secretly been embezzling this whole time.
Yeah.
That's how it generally seems to happen.
Yeah. But
I mean, you've just got to hope that, you go over to Twitch, you know, it is the bigger platform. So hopefully enough people will follow you over you've got more of a share of the audience. So there's more people to pick from. You've just got to hope that if you're talented at what you do, if you offer a point of difference, sucks, but you will be able to build that up again.
Possibly, but
hopefully.
From my habits of things, genuinely, having to make a new login for a new website will stop me from ever watching anything there. You know what I mean? I think a huge part of the reason I never fucked with Mixer, and I've watched stuff on Twitch.
Yeah, yeah.
But having to just type in my fucking email address is enough of a barrier for me
before
I'm invested in something, which of course I'm not invested in it yet because I'm not in there. So I don't know how that has any relevance, but like I get
why. But if it's gone and then the only equivalent now is Twitch, well then you're just going to, I think it's a different situation to like a new thing popping up that's like, oh, what the fuck's it? Let me give it a few months and see how this pans out, whether there's anything I actually want to watch on here. But if it's like, all these four streamers that I really liked on Mixer, well, Mixer's now gone. Mm. They've gone over to Twitch. All right, well, I guess I just got to go over to Twitch.
I guess if you were all in a Mixer, you have to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's scary, the idea that these, and it's been happening for ages, big monolithic sort of new companies are now the equivalent of what old media gatekeepers used to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, is like, well, now all this means, like, it's a really bad thing that Mixer failed because now Twitch is the monopoly.
Yeah.
Like, and that's never a good thing. Like, as functional and good and simple and easy as Twitch is to use, it's better to have competition. It'll make everyone try and be better.
Quibi gaming.
Just 6 second streams.
You're right, though. Like, we all thought, the internet and all these, like, podcasting and all that sort of stuff taking off was just going to be the end of the old systems of delivery, but not really. Like, there's ease of use, but there's still some version of a gatekeeper.
Yes.
At the end of the day, it's still like the whole thing, the whole dream of like, oh, just anyone can just put a thing on YouTube and then become famous overnight. It does happen rarely, but there's, as with anything, there's more stuff at play behind the scenes.
And that like internet dream or whatever happened, and it's too late now because everyone only has a certain amount of time and people have decided where they're going to dedicate that time generally.
Yeah.
You know, like some TV shows get big in their 8th season maybe, but not many.
No.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
We're moving the podcast to TikTok starting next week. Everyone follow us there.
Welcome to the dance cast, everybody. That EA thing happened. You and me streamed it, Ben.
Yep.
New skate game, I guess. Nothing that interesting out of it.
Squadrons was the only thing. A new Star Wars game, dogfighting, multiplayer and single player campaign.
Mm-hmm.
That looked pretty cool. But yeah, you're right. I think apart from that and maybe one other thing, it's nothing of real interest.
So that's that seems to be about the state of it. That's all the news that's fit to rake.
Rake.
Is that what they used to say?
Print.
Print.
Yeah, print.
I think I've only ever seen parodied versions of it.
Okay.
So like the it's like all the muck that's fit to fuck or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah,
the
yeah.
They should have said that.
Page yeah, three would better, do. Yeah.
A real muck fucker. Okay, so should we get into Last of Us, The Last of Us,
yes.
Part 2.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
So, like we said up the top, we're going to be talking, we're not going to be doing spoilers. We're not going to be talking about plot and story. So,
not specifics at least. We'll give our impressions of it at this point.
We're going to do deep dive on those kind of story things hopefully next week.
Yeah.
That being said, as I mentioned at the top, I had engaged with nothing about this game going in. So, we're going to talk about it very broadly, but we will still be talking sort of mechanically about some things that are in it. So, if you're yet to play this game and you think you want to and you want to have a completely clean experience, you don't want to know anything that's coming out up, then, yeah, obviously don't listen from here on out because we're not going to spoil story stuff, but there, you know, there's certain things that we just kind of have to talk about in describing it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I personally think if you haven't touched it, I would say the if you can know absolutely nothing going in, I think the game really, really benefits from it in terms of knowing structure and other than having played the first one.
You have to have played the first one.
That's very true.
Yeah.
I think, if you're going to tune out now, if you haven't already, I think we all recommend it. I think we all think that you should play it.
Like, I would say that if you're feeling stressed right now, it's a valid reason to fucking hang on.
Yeah, sure,
you
yes.
You know what I mean?
But I think you know. I mean, I think
sure,
if you, it's all you know that already.
Preference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't think it's over-exaggerated how draining this game is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It really is a fucking miserable time.
Yes,
in some ways.
Yes, it is,
and a very well crafted miserable time.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not trying to, like, so in comparison to the first one, and this will be the only like sort of light story stuff. I just want to get it out of the way and say what I think of that overall. In comparison to the first one, it is a lot less light in the dialogue and stuff. There's not as much of, you remember the first one, a lot of it was,
it's a little quippy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
first one's a road trip.
Yeah.
It's sure, a road trip story. Yeah. So there's a lot of like shooting the shit, killing time.
And that was the whole point of that story, was to build up one relationship.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And this one goes a little like doesn't quite have that laser focus of the story.
Yeah.
And has less room to breathe. And what it does have some of those like moments, and they're fucking good.
Mm.
But yeah, it definitely isn't as enjoyable in a purely like I'm having a good time with these characters way.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah, for sure.
It's also like I can't really think of another game like this where like the fact that it's called The Last of Us Part 2 and not just The Last of Us 2. You know, quite often in games when there's a sequel, reviews will talk about how it's a complete, you know, it improves upon everything from the first one and expands everything from the first one. And quite often with the second installment in a game series, you can say to people, and you'll hear people say this a lot, oh, you know what, just start with number two. You don't really need to worry about number one because they've refined and improved it. But this one truly is just, this is a straight up continuation of number one.
You could
never say to someone like, oh, you know what, don't worry about it, just dive straight in on this one. It is just, it is the next. It's the next chapter in this story.
You could maybe watch the first one on YouTube or something.
Yeah, sure.
Like, I don't think you need to have played it because the gameplay is very similar in this one.
Mm. Like the Uncharted games are all relatively standalone. Like they kind of refer back, but you could say to someone, you know what, you don't have all the time in the world. Just play 4. It's like the biggest one of the or whatever your personal preference of
and
them
you
is.
Get all the references in context, and they do make an effort to. But this one absolutely makes no effort. Catch you up.
This is more like season 2 of an HBO show. Like they're not explaining the callbacks. They're not giving you context where if you'd watch season 1, you have the context. They are relying on you having a mature, experienced perspective on this game.
And they haven't. There are little tweaks here and there to some of the mechanics and the controls, but it's not like they've really, you know, they haven't thrown one aside and gone, right, we really need to build upon this.
No.
They're just, their big focus with this is, let's tell the next part of this story and let's I think their big goal has been, let's push our ways that we tell stories and the kind of the scope of the stories that we tell in these games to the furthest point that we've pushed it yet.
And I think that, the two detriments I will say about the story, and from an overview, I'm a bird's eye up here.
You can't quite make out the individual details of each scene.
Has a bird ever spoiled something for you?
It shadowed other me than once.
The top of the car.
Tell us. Moonlight cinema.
How long is this game as the crow flies?
As the, well, apparently 840 fucking hours.
Yeah,
if you...
too long in my opinion. So, for my, this little crow.
My two gripes are that it does, I believe, overstay its welcome a little bit by the end.
Mm.
And it is structured in a way that I can't tell if it's just that I have a weird personal bugbear with the type of structure that it does, or that it's a little bit messy. I think it is actually a bit messy. A feeling that I had while playing this, and this is harsher than I mean it for it to sound, but I think we've all done this, is worked on a creative project that at some point you're having to force out.
Mm-hmm.
You're really having to push yourself to finish it. And it makes it lose some of its momentum and some of its quality. And I got that feeling off of especially sort of the back half of this game.
Yeah. I mean, I really don't want to get too deep into this.
No.
But,
this is just...
But I, like, personal preference for me is like, I just love, like you said, the laser focus of number one. It's just like, it's a very clean, very simple story.
Yeah.
You're a smuggler, find this girl, you got to take her from A to B. And that's the whole thrust of it, is just like going on a straight line.
Yeah.
Like, I really think that that's like such a great, pure way of telling a story. This is not that. And my personal preference is probably more for something like number one.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, they really had their work cut out for them with this. Like, it's the first one is one of, if not the most revered games of all time. Mm. I kind of really respect that they went, all right, let's not just do an A to B road trip again. Let's make it push out in all these different directions instead. And I think that that's really admirable. And so far in what I've seen, I'm 16 hours in. I think they're doing it really well, even though, I don't want to go too much deeper
We need to have all finished it before talking about it, because it keeps, it keeps obviously having story as it goes.
Yeah.
And you need to have all of it there.
My point just very briefly is like, personal preference is more for the kind of like style of story that number one is, but I really respect what they're doing.
And
here.
I'm very aware that I scrutinize this story harder than I'd normally do because it's so well done.
Mm.
When things get really good, you tend to be harsher on them.
Yeah.
Because the little bits that you would change or that you don't think worked.
That you think are, oh, you were so close.
Right.
My opinion on this, without again going into detail, is I like both ways of telling stories or the two different tacks that one and two have taken about equally. I think that what two is doing is brilliant. I think it's like many genius moments of storytelling in it. I don't think it's messy. I think it could be messy maybe if you played it in 20 hours.
Well, and I think you've got to finish it as well. Like,
sure,
because the... Yeah.
But yeah, like what they've done with it, what they've attempted to do, I think they've pulled off so far. And I think like the fact that they attempted to do it is really, really like worth praising. I think there's so much stuff in this game that I've never seen before in a storytelling way, in a character way. It's super, super like mature and thought out and detailed. It's it's so far like up there with the first for me.
There's a lot to think about with it in a way that a good story has.
Yes.
And we'll talk, full on spoilers next week.
Yeah.
In like a sealed section or whatever. The Harry Potter dies at the end. The way that the story is conveyed, though, purely from like a technological point of view, is the most impressive fucking shit.
Yeah.
The motion capture, the facial capture, the acting, the every element of how the game looks is so good.
I mean, a big thing for a long time in games has been the uncanny valley effect of looking at a character model and going, and there's bits in this where I'm really getting tricked. Like, there's moments where these really do look like real people, and that extra little bit of whatever it is, like life, that you've somehow got to inject into a character model to make it fully believable as a real person,
yeah,
is so close to being there all of the time. And like, all I can think while I'm playing this is like, this is one of the last things that'll come out on the PlayStation 4. Like, imagine what the equivalent of this on the PlayStation 5 is going to look like.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like as close to lifelike and perfect as I think you can get.
Well, I think
at this point, or at least in like the effectiveness of how it's conveyed.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think like the actual face design and the like, I think there are some proportional differences from real life, from photorealism, but I think it's the physics. I think it's the motion capture. It's the way someone walks around a room and brushes past something.
You can immediately read a person's emotion on their face.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like there is not even like there's no difference to watching an actor act in the way that I took this game in. I don't understand any of the facial expression. I have to hold up my cue card. But like it really does fucking work.
Yeah, it does. That's
the little
it.
Details, like people's like blemishes on their skin, yep, and their freckles and stuff, like a level, yeah, of detail that in a kind of really, in a way that looks really real and believable, and not just like it's been kind of put there as a texture of like, oh, you know, some people have freckles. Like it just gives it so much, yeah, just believability to this being a real person.
And the first one definitely had that in the cutscenes as well. They were very good.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it was that far off of what this is doing, but this one does, at least in like close-up gameplay, carry it over. Like there were heaps of times where something would happen and I'd like spin the camera around and look at Ellie's face and she'd be showing the emotion that she should be in that scene.
Yeah.
While I'm fucking running around us. It really fucked with my head.
I was thinking this a lot while I was playing the first one as well. I think The Last of Us, as the two games together, might have the most kind of consistent in-game logic of anything, certainly, that I've played. You know, like quite often in games, right, even if it's like striving for a lot of realism in like, I don't know, off the top of my head, a good example, like Red Dead Redemption 2, you got to clean your gun and clean your horse and all that kind of stuff. But then you can just retrieve your horse from literally wherever you are. So there's like leaps in logic that just kind of disappear at a certain point. But all the things in Last of Us, even though the paths that you're going down are very linear, if you can't go down a certain path or door or whatever, there's such a real world reason for why you wouldn't be able to get down there. Like,
weirdly, there was one point, and it must be again because it's doing it so well all the time,
right,
there was one bit where there was a corridor I couldn't go down because someone had turned a bed on its side and just put it across there. I was like,
I can jump over that. I jumped over a fucking car before. I've tried to like climb on vans.
There's no way that that's a barrier if you're trying to do it. Like,
the zombies can't get over beds.
But
I think for the most part, just like justifying it in the world of the game, it's like, oh, there's, you know, rubble has fallen down here, so the stairwell's done. In the first one, you see a lot of like
natural.
The government has like boarded up these doors with those wire things so you can't get in. Same with like the pickups that you have, like the things for upgrading your weapons and upgrading your health and finding ammo and finding health. It just makes sense that all this stuff would be left scattered around the world, not like in a, you know, other times in games you find a health pickup and it's like, well, why the fuck is that just lying in the grass? This makes no sense.
Sure, and it's not all like you fucking take pills to upgrade your skills and
but you're finding, it's the most consistent and it works in the context.
I completely agree.
With one exception, and again, it's like the small things stick out because everything else is so good. I've noticed that when you turn your flashlight on, it just turns itself on. There's like no animation for like her hand going over to the thing to like click it on.
Yeah, I guess
Which is like a weird thing to like not animate when everything else just makes so much sense. It's
well, and if you kill a clicker, sometimes it will just have scissors on it.
Yeah.
Good thing all these barbers died,
but
I guess.
Like along those lines, like you'll be going through the game and like, this is not a spoiler, you'll see something like, you'll see a hardware store and you'll be like, oh, fuck yeah, there's going to be a bunch of screws and a bunch of things in there. And you go in and they are there because the world is logical. It makes sense. Yeah. They've thought of it.
In an art design way, it's great. Like, everything looks fucking fantastic and is very well designed. Oh, ooh, fuck. Whoops. I nearly knocked the recorder off. I will say, just visually, I noticed, and I don't know if either of you noticed this, when you're like in the world and there's enemies ahead of you, their models changed to like a low polygon version, a little closer than is ideal because I was looking at faces all the time and their faces got real muddy and weird, pretty close to you.
Right.
And it like, it's a tech, you know, it's on a 7-year-old console. Like, of course, shit's not going to be perfect, but it was something that did sometimes, was just noticeable.
I don't think I've noticed any... thing like that, and maybe it's because I'm not looking for it. Like when there's people around, there's enemies around, I'm hiding like, under a car.
There's so much and so with the hardware store thing as well.
Yes,
a great thing that this one is doing over the first is I saw them when they were talking about it call it wide linear, where you're going down a hall, but there's a bunch of stuff on the sides.
Right.
So the levels are just slightly more big.
Yep.
Slightly more complex. There's like one very open one right at the start.
Mm-hmm.
That then it narrows down after that, which does feel a bit weird. Like it almost does like a Lost Legacy thing.
Yeah, because you asked us in the group chat whether we were both exploring buildings, and I kind of feel like you kind of have to in this game.
Right.
Like I'm doing everything because it's like you need the ammo, you need those crafting things. Like I don't really know how you survive in this game if you're just like barreling through and not foraging for every fucking thing you can find.
I heard something about the first game and I don't know, like, and I heard it before I started playing part two, so I could have tested it out, but I haven't because I'm so tense and I want to collect everything. In the first game, apparently, the more you use, the more shows up in the world. So the more health packs you're making, the more like shots you're firing, the more ammo there is to pick up, the more bits and pieces there are to make stuff.
If you're making more, if you're using more shivs, then you'll get more stuff for crafting.
But if you're really conserving everything, then there isn't a bunch of stuff to pick up. So it feels like there's less to pick up.
It makes sense as well because there's a lot of like drawers that you open to get stuff where they could automatically generate something inside of it based on what you've done.
Yeah.
Like safes and stuff like that. Mm. But well, all the side stuff is really fun to do as well.
Yeah.
Finding the little puzzles to get into a room you don't know how to access or to find the code to a safe. There's things that happen in all those side bits too, like you'll get little cutscenes that build up the characters, and you'll get like fun encounters that are really enjoyable and little and side stories.
Everything looks so great, like you want to go into a building to just see what sort of business it was, like what was going on in there, and like the little notes the notes that you find too, like quite often there'll be someone who's like blown their brains out and they've written a final note or whatever it is, all that stuff. I'm reading all of them, like
same.
And they're all,
and the writing
so
is good.
I
really like the it's a lot more dreary, and I think that is how people have maybe had a negative feeling from the game and then said this writing is bad, because just the quality of it and the
verisimilitude,
fucking god knows if I meant that word.
Realism?
No, like the like craftsmanship, but not that of the writing, like the writers are good at writing.
Yeah, they are. It's depressing content, but it's well made.
I completely agree. I felt exactly what they wanted me to feel at every point of this game.
Someone in our group brought up the idea of environmental storytelling and how it's done extremely well in The Last of Us 2. And I agree, I think because of all the graphical improvements, like I remember people talking about Fallout 3 as having environmental storytelling of like, okay, there's a skeleton there and he's wearing a hat. Oh, a hat guy must have died there in the hat shop.
It's
but
It's definitely putting more effort in than that.
Yeah.
There's like, this isn't a spoiler, it's a very side thing, but just to give you an example of it, one that I really liked, you're going through this area and seeing these notes and these bits and pieces that one particular guy has left who like had a weapon and is talking about the weapon in the notes. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think
so,
yeah.
And later you get that weapon.
Yeah.
But there's like this little story building up to it that you could miss.
Yeah.
But it you wouldn't, because it is so enjoyable to go and explore every nook and cranny of that game. And then with the items and stuff as well, it's worth pointing out that all the accessibility stuff, which I didn't really dig into because, you know, I left it all at the default stuff, is really, really in-depth.
It's I had a little poke around the menu and there's more... Yeah, options and sliders and things you can do for accessibility stuff than any game I've ever seen.
Yeah, there's a text-to-speech thing that you can turn on.
Yeah. There's like color blindness things. There's whether or like you can make in moving shapes stick out more if you have weaker vision that can't quite see.
Right.
There's a million different options. There's sound things that you can change. You can make pick-upable objects be highlighted in the world.
Right.
You can change individual difficulty settings. Apparently, again, I didn't fuck with it much, but I've read about it. Just go read about it. But like you can change how much stuff you've got or like how easy it is to aim. There's a slow motion thing you can turn on to make aiming easier.
Yeah, right. Wow.
Like a bullet time.
And that was all just written out on a piece of paper, and we've used text to speech to get it to sound like Adam was saying that.
Yeah.
It's very advanced.
I'm not here for this one.
One technical thing that I am really enjoying over the first one, because again, the in-game logic is so strong in that first one as well. Mm. Again, save for the thing that really sticks out is that you learn early on in that first game that the clickers go by sound, so you've really got to be careful around them. But then Ellie quite often, the AI just goes to shit, and she's just like running around in circles in front of it. But it's, you know, of course it can't detect, and that lose you the game because that would be so unfair. Mm. So again, it's just like this little leap of logic where it's like, oh man, it's like everything else is so consistent, but this one thing sticks out. But then just seeing that in number one made me really excited for number two, because I was thinking in my head, I reckon that stuff will have been completely ironed out by now in this gen. And it has, like, for the most part. I haven't had anything happen where if I'm in a situation with a ally where they've just gone running off gung-ho and been noticed by the enemy, it doesn't happen at all.
If anything, they're pretty helpful.
They're really helpful. Yeah. That's the other thing. In number one, they will just be emptying rounds into
Stormtrooper style, just shooting the wall.
It's often the thing, if there's like two enemies left and you kill one, they'll jump on the other and you'll be able to see it in the background.
But in the first one, the AI will just unload bullet after bullet after bullet into an enemy and it doesn't kill it. Whereas in this one, I noticed pretty early on, fuck, the AI actually takes out enemies for you, like often in the same amount of hits it would take you to do.
Yes.
And they're like good as well.
Yeah.
The gameplay itself is very, very similar to the first one, but hugely more, it just feels smoother and more natural or something. Mm-hmm. It feels a lot better.
Yeah.
I'm really feeling like it reminds me a lot of Metal Gear Solid 5, where you've got this kind of creativity with the little combat arena that is in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That largely revolves around stealth and picking your moments to take people out and that sort of thing.
Yeah, one thing Naughty Dog do so well is they're consistently finding really interesting environments for you to have these conflicts in.
Yeah.
Like you go through so many different areas that it's just like, of course this is a sick area to be having a gunfight in. And then structuring the areas in a way where you have so many options for how you can approach it. And so much of the fun is like dying three times in a row, trying the same thing and then going, all right, what if I go around here to the right instead? Yeah. Oh, wow, there's this whole shop here that I could kind of sneak through and get my way up here. They do this stuff, I think, better than probably anyone else.
It's definitely good. And like you're more athletic in this one.
Mm-hmm.
You can climb around and you can lie down as well.
Well, you know, you can crouch, which is the lowest you could get in the first one.
Because there's tall grass where you can crouch. Yeah. But this one, the innovation is,
you can stand, right? It's crouching or standing. You're going to say those are the two options.
I love crouching, but I'd love to be able to go lower. It's a shame that that's not an option in this one.
Let me introduce you. So, well, imagine if you saw a little shorter grass and you're like, well, I could hide in there.
Oh, okay.
But not with my current profile.
Sure, it's coming up to my knees when I'm crouching.
What if I could get lower than my knees?
You mean like lying down?
Similar.
Ooh.
You mean like crawling?
What if you'd been in the military and picked up a term that somehow Tommy had never heard of?
This is probably the strangest aspect of it.
So, I'd never heard.
You can go prone.
You can go prone. I had never heard this before in my life.
Such a common video
never
game
in my
phrase.
Life. Common. Never heard it before in my life.
Genuinely, this is near enough to you turning on a game and being like, press start.
Yeah.
Come
on.
What
does that mean?
Trigger to shoot?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a strange thing. Okay.
Why do all the menus and the prompts on screen call it going prone when not a single character, like they're never going, like they'll say to you, oh, crouch down and go under here. Or hey, maybe try crawling under.
Yeah.
If no one in the game is referring to it as going prone, why not just call it crawling in the menus and on the button prompts?
Because it is distinct from that. It's lying down and crawling, which is a military term.
And it, like when you're moving around like that, you're holding a gun.
Yep.
And it's one of those weird video game isms where the whole industry seems to agree upon this very uncommon word in the real world.
Yeah. Right.
Like when, you know, jumping onto hoisting yourself up onto a higher surface. Mm-hmm. And for a while there, everyone was like, it's clambering.
Sure.
You're clambering onto this.
Sure, sure, sure.
Like, were you a fucking 1910s British mother talking about her children playing?
Clambered down from there, Johnny. That's
the only time you would have ever heard someone use that word in the real world. But it becomes a video game thing.
Yeah.
Well, I know why Tommy is not familiar with it. It's very common in first-person shooters.
Yeah.
Extremely common.
Call of Duty and PUBG and that sort of stuff is where you're really going prime.
Yeah. So I mentioned it to you guys and I it was almost as if I'd set you up for this, Adam, because you go, it's actually a really common military term. what a brutal sentence to have to say. Like, there's no way, even though I'm the idiot, there's no way to whip that one out without coming off looking like a real vape penner. And then I put a thread in our Facebook group about, am I the only one that's never heard, just something about having never heard the phrase going prone. And then someone who clearly isn't playing the game went, are you okay? And I thought, oh, fuck. All right, I'm going to have to throw my hands up here.
Yeah.
And then cue a thread that is still kicking on now days later of people working in going prone into puns and making memes about it.
Yeah.
It really has. I mean, for what you're saying about the game being dreary and depressing, this one part of it just brightens my... Every time I realize I have to go prone, puts a little smile on my face.
And you go prone fucking heaps. You go prone the best a fair thing bit.
You go prone more and more as the game goes on, honestly, I'm constantly going prone in this second half.
It is very stealth-focused.
I haven't been saying it out loud at all.
One person in our group said that every time she goes prone, she yells out, I'm going prone!
I'm loving it. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, anytime I see that long grass and I'm like low on ammo, I'm thinking, fuck yeah, it's prone time. Time to enter the prone zone.
Eat a little bit of prone valone.
Yes.
The crawling around, though, in the combat.
Yes.
And the...
Excuse me?
Sorry, the addition of going prone.
Yes, thank you.
You wouldn't think.
I'm looking forward to the DLC when you can do Go Prone Plus.
Yeah, when you can turn into a puddle like Alex Mack.
Yes.
Sludge around. But it really does change it up. I feel a lot more capable of being stealthy in this one than in the first.
The first one, you're very much just running away from people quietly. You're not the hunter. You get to be the hunter in this game a bit more.
Right. I felt like I was setting myself up for one opportunity to grab one guy before shit kicked off.
And
then it was a gunfight. But this one, you can do that Metal Gear thing of slowly going around this camp and taking out everyone.
Yeah.
And like the fucking Predator.
Again, with the environment design, there are gaps in the walls. There's more places to go prone and crawl under things.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, genuinely, there is. Yeah. It's really...
It's endless opportunities to go prone. And because I've been playing Dark Souls recently...
Just quickly, how good was the guy in our Facebook group who had to start a new thread and go, I'm a bit behind on episodes. Where does this going prone thing come from?
Like,
I'm
literally a bit behind nowhere. In the podcast. I know.
Well, my friend, it's from an on-screen prompt on a currently popular video game.
I've been playing Dark Souls before this, and circle is the run button in that. But circle in The Last of Us is the button to go prone.
Yes, yes.
So every time I go to run, I'd hold circle and end up going prone.
Oh, no.
So I spent a lot of time prone in this game.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, actually, it is better for me to just drop to the ground. I can hide now instead of run away.
But yeah, it feels great. It has the same thing that the first did, where the tension of the combat feeds into the mood of the story, which is really, really cool.
Mm.
And I think such an interesting and uncommon thing for games to do, to have what you're doing in the gameplay match up pretty well with the tone of the story.
There's a topic or a question that has been asked of us a couple of times over the course of this show.
Part two.
And it is like whether or not we think games can get any better. And I think the first time we talked about it, Adam was like, yes, obviously, of course. And
correctly.
I think, Tommy, you and I were a bit more like, well, can they? Like, they can get incrementally better, but we've probably seen the last great leap forward.
Mm.
But I think what you need for like graphical improvements, animation improvements and stuff like that to really have an impact on me is for them to be paired with an incredibly well-told story and extremely good gameplay.
Yeah.
Because that's what's happening in this game. It is tense because of the gameplay and the story, and because you can see on the faces of the people you're fighting the pain they're under, the facial expressions of the characters you're playing as.
It's all the same thing, right? Like it's a convergence of all these different technologies and skills and everything.
Which is what, like, that's what video games can aspire to be. Like, that's the ultimate thing. It's like movies,
right?
All these different art forms coming together to make something like beautiful.
And it's really using the tech. Like, yes. This game wouldn't have been possible in this form on the current gen. And not just from a graphical standpoint, but from a how much you're giving a fuck about what you're doing, which is so much of the game.
Yes.
Without those like facial animations and stuff, that just didn't exist on the PS3 in the same way.
Yes.
In the way that they're doing it here.
That's the thing, because I think there are elements of the first game that make you feel extremely tense and make you care a lot about the characters, but they're sort of almost like not tricks, but they're like you're really isolated for a lot of the time, or you're bonding with the one other character. Mm. So it's like tension and empathy. But this, because it's such a broader reaching game, it has to have more behind those things, and it does. It has the technology and the writing and the performances.
Like I've seen criticism, the overall point of the game is basic. Which it kind of is, like it's exploring themes that are not fresh, but it's doing it in such a way that I was really thinking about it the whole time and like feeling it and letting myself get sucked into it.
Yeah.
So I think it really works. And the disagreements that people are having about a lot of this game are pretty much purely to do with the artistic choices in the game.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people, like obviously it's not going to be to everyone's tastes, but I don't think anyone is really saying this is poor quality production.
Right, right.
So the actual emotion and intent of the story is a lot more front and center, which I think has been part of the response, part of the reason for such a weird backlash to it, because it's a very grim, deliberately unpleasant story that like isn't doing shit to subvert your expectations. It's doing it to make points about the things it's trying to talk about, and I think that they are effective.
Yeah,
you have to accept that the story is telling the story it wants to tell.
Yeah.
And that you don't have any ownership over that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't imagine what would have been different, other than if you were to maybe structure it a little differently, which is the hottest and most correct take of all.
Cancel Adam.
And then it all fucking works together for maybe slightly too long.
One thing about it I'm really enjoying that I wasn't expecting was that you know, the Uncharted games are mostly well known, I think, for their big kind of set pieces that they do. Their big sort of crazy action
blockbuster
sequences.
Indiana blockbuster, Jones stuff. Yeah.
Which the first Last of Us didn't really do. It was doing, I don't think it to its detriment, but it was doing a different thing. It was focusing on the story.
It had big emotional moments, right?
Yeah,
those are the things I remember from the first, is the big hitting points in the story.
Yes. But this has big set pieces.
Yeah, it has both.
I like there's a lot of segments where you're just running. Like you're just straight up running away from hordes of enemies. The first one you never did. You could have tried to if you wanted to, but there's big bits in this where it's just like run. Just get from A to B, stop and try and clear some off if you want, but the game is telling you to just like get the fuck out of there and you won't be. It's not like you'll learn pretty quickly that you can't do that.
Mm.
Also
weirdly, I think in the other direction, the set piece moments from the story are kind of gone, because it's telling a more nuanced kind of story that is deliberately this slow burn, because it wants you to mix around in it the whole time and really be overtaken by it in a way where I don't think, save for a few really good ones, there's not quite the things where like I would be tempted to watch how other people reacted to it on YouTube.
Mm, or that's a good way of putting that. Yeah.
Even the big moments in the story are done in such a way where it's really trying to make you go like, oh fuck.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going like,
it's not a twist like a M. Night Shyamalan like surprise.
Right.
It's just a genuine moment. It's a genuine emotional moment.
And part of the reason it's so long is because it's trying to make you fully get into the headspace of the characters So, you know, 2 out of 10.
Well, unless you guys have anything more to say, I think we're just about at the end of personally how much more I could really say without getting into story specifics.
It's a shame that there's not the multiplayer again.
Mm.
The multiplayer in the first one was really, really good, and the gameplay in this one is so tightened from that
right.
that I would have loved to have seen that be in this again. I get that it's not, and it's like a huge production without it. And they have said that they're going to use the ideas that they have for it for something else in the future. So, but who knows what
that is. Right, right. Because it felt like there were a bunch of areas in the game that were almost like optional bits of map that would, this would be perfect for a multiplayer section.
And the multiplayer in that first one was so great.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
really, really good.
I never played it.
It's like, it's the same combat, but it's like, maybe it was 3-on-3, 4-on-4, something like that.
Yeah.
Kind of like Counter-Strike-y, like you're dead, you're out.
Yeah.
And, I really enjoyed it. And it's a shame that it's not in this one, but you know, you can't have everything.
I think it is worth underlining that I do really agree that it is a depressing game. Like,
yes.
Like I said to you before, Nox, like it's becoming a bit of a slog, and it's not because like I'm finding the gameplay tedious or like the stealth sections annoying. Like,
they
it's
change
all fun
it up the whole way through.
Yeah,
every
yeah.
scenario is like different enough from the others where they completely burn every bit of what's possible with that gameplay by the end.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I think
yeah.
they just hit the point where you're like, if I had to play one more fucking section of this, I'd be like, right. well, I'm doing the same thing again.
Yeah, one more 3-story empty conference building.
Right,
or whatever.
One more like, oh, here's some grass and some waist high things to hide behind with these soldiers around. But like, yeah. they definitely it maybe overstays its welcome a bit, but it is. It's thought about why it's that long.
Yeah, right? yeah.
For sure.
I think maybe, again, like if we didn't do this show, if we were just playing this game, I would be playing 1 or 2 hours a night for, you know, a month or two or whatever.
Yeah,
like
same.
I really have been trying to get through it in a way that I probably wouldn't have. And well, maybe that's making it feel a little.
You've both played it for long enough that you should almost be at the end as well. That's definitely surprising to me, that because it's not an easy game if you've got it set even to the default thing. Like, but maybe it's worth bumping it down a bit or something. But it also does that difficulty feeds into what you're doing.
I think so. I think like I've probably died on average like 1.5 times per encounter. Like there's a couple that have got me, but I just take it really slow. I'm very cautious with all of the combat.
Right, I was always treating it like it was Metal Gear, where I'd just like get on my fucking belly or go prone.
Yeah.
As the professionals call it, the professionals. And sneak up to the closest motherfucker, kill him, sneak to the next one, kill him.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like I was a fucking murderer.
Yeah, no, I've very much been like, okay, I'll hang back at the end of this level and then I'll throw a bottle over there and then I'll get that one and I'll wait till they relax and I'll get that. Like, so I have been playing it quite slowly.
Right. Nah, man, I was burning through there like a motherfucker. I was Batman.
But
the deaths feel so brutal, and like when you die, like animation that you have to watch, like really fucking gets me so, like it makes me really mad that I'm dying.
Yes,
and of all the enemies as well.
I was like, gonna say that. Yeah, you could like shoot someone's hand off, and they clutch at their stump and scream, and then die.
And the little touch of giving them all fucking names.
Yeah.
And when you shoot someone, people are like, Jim.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh. I killed Jim.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And it is in service of the brutality of the story that is kind of the point of the whole thing. So it's not like it's gratuitous.
No,
I don't
not
think
at
the
all.
Violence is unearned or like yuck in a way that like Spec Ops The Line, I thought, was where that thing was telling a not dissimilar story.
Yeah.
But a lot more ham-fistedly.
I completely agree. I think we can talk a lot more about that next week because it really, yes.
Because the other thing is like this story is how it is, and it does maybe mistakenly give you what seems like the illusion of choice at certain points in the story that I think people have had a problem with, because part of the story is about you sinking to the depths that these characters are going to. And of course you're not emotionally there because you're sitting on a couch.
Yeah. Yep.
And I don't know if the decision to kind of make you enact those things seemingly as though you had the option not to when you don't is necessarily an effective tool that they've employed.
Right. Yeah, I think it was a trick and a gimmick in Spec Ops The Line that was innovative for the time.
But I didn't. I fucking hated it in that. There's the bit where you have to white phosphorus a bunch of people and you can see them.
Yeah, yeah.
You go like, oh, well, I know these are civilians. They're fucking huddled up and hugging each other. Soldiers don't do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it makes you. And so this kind of does that same trick a little bit.
But in a much more nuanced way.
It's just you're pushing square in a cutscene.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. Like, but if I was, as I should have been, the director of this game, I think I would have taken that out to make more obvious that, like, you are experiencing our story here.
Right.
You don't have an option.
Right.
Because, video games often imply choices. The medium of a video game implies that you have a choice,
which
you do not.
Which is where people get entitled or feel entitled. They're like, possibly, I crafted this character, I'm involved in this story, and it didn't go the way I wanted it to, and that's why I'm angry.
I think that does contribute to it in some way. There's a lot of other stuff that contributes to it, but we'll get more into that next week.
Mm.
And I think the other one, maybe last thing to mention is, like, I think, and there have been some criticisms of how, like, the diversity of the cast is treated, where, like, it does the thing of when you've got like a non straight white man character who is then their role in the story is to be abused for whatever difference
Sort of the woman in the fridge trope is one from comics where it's like a female character is brutally murdered and stuffed in a fridge to give the male character a reason for revenge.
Not quite that, but more just like there's, you know, people saying that it's all shoehorned in and whatever, I just think is not
Shoehorned in if you're trying to not let it be in there.
Right. That, you know? Yeah, if you, it really,
you're
doesn't.
Only forcing it if you're having to force it against people who are, like, resistant to it.
Yeah. Mm. I don't think that is a valid criticism of the cast of characters in this game.
Because
really, the story is generally not even anything to fucking do with that as well.
Yeah.
But there's one, anyway, we'll maybe talk about it next week, but I do see the argument that maybe there's one character in particular who gets treated poorly for their identity, and that could be a weird part of the story. But in general, I think it's cool how well-formed most of the cast is, other than Jesse, who's I couldn't tell you a single trait of that motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that probably should do us for this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's great. I'm loving it so far. I'm looking forward to playing more of it. Mm. And yeah, I mean, another hit out of the park for Naughty Dog.
Yes.
And I get the impression that this is, and, you know, of course, having not seen the end of it, it feels to me like just everything that they've kind of said about this is that this is them being done with The Last of Us. So
they said about the first as well.
Well, sure. But true. My point is, I think they'll do something new next, and based on how great this is, how much I enjoyed all the Uncharted games, this is a fucking top tier studio, and just it's exciting to think about the thing that they would do next as a new IP on a new piece of more powerful hardware. Yeah.
Completely.
I think it's a home run, but they haven't hit it out of the park.
Okay.
Oh. It's hit the back wall, if you will.
Oh, nice.
But we'll talk about the specifics of why when we do full spoiler stuff. So if you want to play it now or have played it or whatever, try and finish it by the time we do the episode next week, including you two.
Yes. And, that was just to us.
Because I'm fucking really looking forward to picking apart all of the story, because I think it's a really interesting one.
This thinking about, like, Naughty Dog and the hits that they've had, it really makes me think of, like, Rare back in the late 90s, like second party studio, like,
sure,
you know, basically to a lot of people, these games are PlayStation, and just like they have a new one coming down, like even their weaker efforts by their standards are still just incredible experiences.
I'm with you that I would definitely be ready for the next one to be something new.
Completely different, like, yeah, just to see what direction they go in, both gameplay wise and sort of storytelling wise.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to do us for this week. Head to filthycasuals.com.au to find the links to our socials, the Patreon, where you can get a bonus episode every week. We're currently going through the 90s in popular culture. You can also find our Let's Plays on YouTube. Yeah, do all that stuff. Give us a rating on iTunes if you liked this this episode, if you like the show in general. Because, we have a slight suspicion that we might have some...
Maybe we're underestimating.
Some little gremlins coming out of the woodwork.
We might be underestimating people. Maybe it'll happen next week when we talk about specifics of why. But, like, just one second. I truly... Well, I was going to say I don't get the anger against this game, but I'm worried that I do get it. And it's because of how fucking charged with anger the whole world is currently. And this game briefly intersects some of the reasons that people are angry in the real world, which, like, I hope it's not that. I hope it's just the dumb shit that happened with Game of Thrones season 8 as well.
Yeah.
Where people just yell at anything that isn't what they lived up, not even lived up, but matched their expectations in terms of the content rather than even the quality. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's so complicated and weird.
Yeah.
And I want to be understanding of it. I don't want to be a dick and be like, no, I've got a different opinion, so your opinion's wrong. I'm really not trying to do that. I just don't understand the view that this is a low quality production.
Yeah, when people just go, it sucks because you have to play as a lesbian for big chunks of it. It's like,
well, that is just immediately.
Yeah,
but that's a lot of it, isn't that? That's a lot of the. That's what the discourse is hiding underneath.
There's plenty of it, and there's plenty that seems like the subtext is that when people say bad writing, I'm really trying to identify what they mean. I've seen people say plot holes and bad writing, and I genuinely don't really think that there is that in this game.
I think that's what I will have to figure out after we've all finished it and can talk about it. But I do suspect a large portion of those people are just angry that there's representation of people in the game that they don't have in their lives and are afraid of or insecure about.
That's definitely some people, but I think there's another part of it where it is more complex than that and is about comfortable storytelling.
Sure, there's, I think, another element of it is, and I think it's a lot of white men, a lot of straight white men.
But so is video games. So, like,
but I think they use video games and like mainstream cinema as wish fulfillment and as a way to see a version of themselves or a version of themselves they wish to be on screens.
I think a lot of people do that, and it's not even a straight white man thing. It's like an escapism thing that like is affecting a generation of people.
Well, I think the loudest and angriest and most violent as in their usual disagreements about it are straight white men, and that's happening with this game.
Sure. I mean, you can't even tell on the internet. I don't like the issue with the thinking behind it is stronger to me than any identity behind that. Does that make sense? Like it's the fact that this game isn't, and you see this word all the time, the word comfy. The fact that the game isn't like, if a character dies in the game, they don't have the fucking Avengers theme playing behind them.
Who the fuck was expecting that from this?
I don't know.
It's so sequel to a game that it definitely ramps it up, but it's all there in number one. Anyway.
We'll talk about it next week because I think it's really interesting, and I think it's a weird... It's come out at the worst possible moment in history for what this is trying to do. I mean, the worst possible moment would be like 1421 when people would be like, what is this? Yeah. You're a witch.
All right. Yeah, let's wrap it up there, guys. Yeah. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
go prone, baby.
Yes.
Babies are always prone.
Yeah. They are.
The ultimate military combatants.
They're born prone.
Born to go prone.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.